Our Heavenly Father,
nuestro Padre Celestial,
we thank you that you are the great God and lawgiver. We thank you for the Ten Commandments that you have given to all the world for our happiness, for our safety. What a beautiful world it would be if everyone kept the Ten Commandments. There would be no idol worship. There would be no murder. No lying, no adultery, no theft. All would understand that you are the Creator God by keeping your Sabbath. But Lord, we just want to thank you that tonight the Sabbath has begun. And Lord, tonight as we begin to study the Judgment Hour message, we ask and pray that you would please pour out your Holy Spirit. Please help this lecture to be clear, to the point, and please speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray.
En el nombre de Cristo te oramos.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to go ahead and get started now with our lecture.
Vamos a comenzar la lectura o la lección.
And we're going to just jump right into it with the time that we have remaining.
Y vamos a tratar de cubrir todo en el tiempo que tenemos.
Let us go back and study Daniel's longest time prophecy.
Vamos a empezar a estudiar la profecía de tiempo más larga de Daniel.
The book of Daniel, chapter 8.
Daniel, capítulo 8.
We have been discussing this for the last two evenings.
Y hemos hablado de esto por las últimas dos noches.
And tonight, by the grace of God, we're going to end this lecture.
Y esta noche, por la gracia de Dios, vamos a terminarla.
Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14, the Bible says,
Daniel 8, 14, la Biblia dice,
and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Want to read that in Spanish?
Y él me dijo, hasta 2,300 días de tardes y mañanas, y el santuario será purificado.
We've learned for the last couple nights,
hemos aprendido en las últimas noches,
that there were two powers that desolated God's people.
Que ha habido dos poderes que han desolado el pueblo de Dios.
Paganism,
paganismo,
and papalism.
Y el papado.
Here were the pagan powers, beginning with Assyria.
Aquí están los poderes paganos, empezando con
Assyria. You had Assyria, then you had Babylon, which took over the Assyrian Empire.
Tenemos a Siria y después a Babilonia que derrocó a los asirios.
Medo-Persia, Greece, and also pagan Rome had destroyed God's people.
Grecia, Medo-Persia, Grecia, Roma han destruido y pisoteado al pueblo de Dios.
For 1,260 years, the pagans had been destroying the people of God.
Por 1,260 años, ellos han destruido y pisoteado al pueblo de Dios.
All the way back in 723 B.C.
Desde el año 723 antes de Cristo.
Then you have, beginning in 538, another power.
Y empezando el año 538, otro poder.
Which was the papacy.
Que es el papado.
And they also destroyed God's people for 1,260 years.
También ellos pisotearon por 1,260 años.
If you add up the 1,260 years, the pagans just desolated God's people.
Y suman los tiempos que el paganismo pisoteó al pueblo.
If you add that 1260 years to the papacy's 1260 years,
si suman los 1200 del paganismo con los 1200 del papado,
you come up with 2520 years.
Llegamos a 2520 años.
But let's continue on.
Pero vamos a continuar.
Now, let's turn back to Daniel chapter 8 and let's read verse 13.
Vamos a Daniel 8, versículo 13.
Because there was a question that was asked.
Porque había una pregunta que se había hecho.
The Bible says, then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said, unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice? By the way, that was dealing with paganism.
De hecho, eso se refiere al paganismo.
The word sacrifice does not belong in the original language.
La palabra sacrificio no está en el original.
And the transgression of desolation, that's the papacy,
y la prevaricación,
to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And the Bible then says in verse 14, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. I want to make a very important point right now.
Quiero hacer una énfasis en esta, en este momento.
We recognize that the sanctuary
reconocemos que el santuario,
of the Old Testament, the earthly sanctuary,
el santuario terrenal del Viejo Testamento,
was a type of a heavenly sanctuary.
Era un tipo del santuario celestial.
Just like the earthly lamb,
así como el cordero terrenal,
was a type of the true lamb, Jesus.
Era un tipo del verdadero cordero, Cristo Jesús.
And just like the earthly priest,
y así como el sacerdote terrenal,
was a type of Jesus the high priest,
es un tipo de Cristo, nuestro sumo sacerdote.
So the earthly sanctuary was a type of the heavenly sanctuary. We talked about that the other night.
El santuario terrenal era un tipo del verdadero en el cielo.
And I just want to simply read one scripture once again for those of you who are not here. Psalm 102, verse 19.
Salmo 102, versículo 19, para los que no estuvieron aquí las últimas noches.
We learn once again that God sits in a sanctuary in heaven.
Aprendimos que Dios está en su santuario en el cielo.
Psalm 102.
Salmo 102.
And verse 19.
Versículo 19.
For those who are taking notes.
Para los que están tomando notas.
Are we all there together, friends? Amen.
¿Están ahí?
I'm going to continue moving on. We have quite a bit to cover. The Bible says, for he hath looked down from the height of his what? His sanctuary. From where?
¿De dónde?
From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. So where is God?
¿Dónde está Dios, dice?
He's in heaven. And where is he sitting?
¿Está dónde sentado?
In his sanctuary, the Bible says. The height of his sanctuary.
En su santuario.
So there is a sanctuary where?
¿Hay un santuario en dónde, dice?
In heaven.
En el cielo.
Now we learned that in the Old Testament,
aprendimos que en el Viejo Testamento,
on one day a year, one day,
un día al año,
it was called the Day of Atonement.
Se llamaba el Día de Expiación.
The earthly priest,
el sumo sacerdote,
would go into the most holy place.
Entraba al lugar santísimo.
And there he would sprinkle blood.
Y ahí rociaba la sangre.
And sins would be blotted out, taken away forever.
Pecados eran borrados, quitados para siempre.
That was a type also, an example.
Era un tipo nada más, un ejemplo.
That there would come a time
que vendría un tiempo
when Jesus, our true high priest,
cuando Cristo, nuestro verdadero sacerdote,
would go into the most holy place in heaven,
y entraría en el lugar santísimo en el cielo,
and also take away the sins of God's people forever.
Y también iba a quitar los pecados del pueblo de Dios para siempre.
That was called the Day of Atonement.
Se llamaba el Día de Expiación.
We read the scripture last night.
Leímos la escritura anoche.
Leviticus chapter 16.
Levíticos 16.
That tells us that we would be clean from our sins on this day, the Day of Atonement.
Que íbamos a ser limpiados de nuestros pecados en este día.
This was the 10th day of the 7th month.
Es el día décimo del séptimo mes.
Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 and 30.
Levítico 16, versículo 29 y 30.
And when you're there, please let me know by saying amen. The Bible says,
la Biblia dice,
and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, that means fast, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day, verse 30,
versículo 30,
for on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to what?
¿Para qué?
Cleanse you, that ye may be clean from something, clean from all your sins before the Lord.
Delante de Dios.
So listen very clearly, very carefully.
Escuchen y pongan atención.
On the Day of Atonement,
en el día de expiación,
that was the day when the people of God would be cleansed from sin.
Ese era el día que se limpiaba el pueblo de Dios.
Sins would be blotted out.
Los pecados eran borrados.
They would be taken away.
Quitados.
This was a type or an example,
un tipo o un ejemplo era esto,
of a heavenly Day of Atonement,
del día de expiación en el cielo,
when Jesus would begin to take away the sins of God's people.
Cuando Cristo empezaría a quitar los pecados del pueblo.
And the question is why?
Y la pregunta es por qué?
The reason is very simple.
Y la razón es simple.
God's people,
el pueblo de Dios,
must have sin taken out of their lives,
tienen que quitarse el pecado del pueblo de Dios,
before Jesus comes,
antes de que venga Cristo.
Because when Jesus comes,
porque cuando Cristo viene,
there's no more opportunity for forgiveness.
Ya no hay más oportunidad para arrepentimiento ni perdón.
Okay? He's no longer the Lamb. He'll be coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at that time.
Es el Cordero de Dios, sino es el Rey de Reyes y Señor de Señores.
And we already read that last couple nights.
Ya leímos eso anoche.
In Revelation 22, where Jesus says, "Let him be filthy still, let him who's righteous still, and behold, I come quickly."
Vimos eso en capítulo 22.
So let's move on now. When would the sanctuary begin to be cleansed?
¿Cuándo empezaría la limpieza del santuario?
We already learned that it would have to be sometime after the great period of desolation.
Aprendimos que iba a ser un tiempo después del tiempo de desolación.
Now, when did this desolating period end?
¿Cuándo se terminó el tiempo de desolación, de pisoteo del pueblo?
The second desolating power, when did it cease?
It's persecuted.
1798. Does everyone understand this?
¿Se acuerdan de eso?
The sanctuary could not be cleansed until after this desolating power would cease.
El santuario no podía ser limpiado antes de que este poder se terminara.
That's what it says in Daniel 8:13-14. How long would it be?
It'd be after the 8:13-14.
How long would the sanctuary and the host be desolated? The question was. Remember that?
La pregunta fue cuánto tiempo durará la visión del continuo del pisoteo.
And the sanctuary would be justified. It would begin to be cleansed after this period of time in 2,300 years, days or years.
Y el santuario va a ser purificado después de los 2,300 días.
Now, let's explain something now for you.
Vamos a explicar algo para ustedes.
So there's a sanctuary. This is the holy place.
Hay este lugar santo, la parte de abajo.
And that's the most holy place.
Y arriba es el lugar santísimo.
So at some point in time, Jesus would move into the most holy place in heaven.
En algún tiempo, Jesús iba a mover del santuario, del lugar santo al santísimo.
And begin the work of judgment.
Iba a empezar el tiempo de juicio.
To begin the work of investigation of character.
El trabajo de investigación del carácter.
That our sins might be blotted out.
Para que los pecados sean borrados.
Okay, so let's look at this now.
Vamos a ver esto.
In the judgment, we recognize that several books will be opened.
En el juicio, sabemos que varios libros se iban a abrir.
The Bible teaches this in Daniel chapter 7. Turn there very quickly, please.
La Biblia enseña esto en Daniel capítulo 7.
Daniel chapter 7, the Bible says that the judgment would have books involved.
La Biblia enseña en el libro de Daniel que iba a haber libros en este juicio que se iban a abrir.
Daniel chapter 7, we're going to look here at verse 9 and 10.
Daniel 7, versículo 9 y 10.
Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Are we all there together, friends? Amen.
7, versículo 9 y 10.
The Bible says, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit," that's the Father, "whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." Verse 10.
Versículo 10.
"A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the what? And the books were open." So in the judgment, there are different books that will be opened.
En el día del juicio, hay varios libros que se abren.
Now, we don't have time to get into all the details of these books. It's a very interesting study, but I would encourage you to do that on your own time.
No vamos a entrar en detalle con los libros que se abren.
We recognize that there are different books in the Bible.
Sabemos que hay diferentes libros en la Biblia.
There are different books of judgment that the Lord uses.
Diferentes libros de juicio que Dios utiliza.
For example, we recognize that there's a book of life.
Sabemos que hay un libro, el libro de la vida.
Right?
Sabemos eso, ¿verdad?
Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 talks about the Lamb's book of life.
Sabemos que en Apocalipsis 13, versículo 8, habla del libro de la vida.
There's also a book of remembrance.
Hay un libro de memoria.
Malachi chapter 3 talks about a book of remembrance written before him.
Malaquías capítulo 3 habla del libro de memorias.
You look at a book of sin or a book of death.
Vemos el libro del pecado, libro de muerte.
You read about that in Isaiah and Jeremiah that talks about the sins of his people being written before him or marked before him.
Eso lo vemos en Jeremías y en Isaías, que son lo que Dios marca.
And we also recognize the Bible is a book of judgment.
Y también sabemos que la Biblia es un libro de juicio.
How many of you remember where Jesus said that the words that I speak unto you, they will judge you in the last day?
¿Cuántos acuerdan que dice Jesús, las palabras que he hablado son las que te condenarán en el día del juicio?
So we have various books being opened in the judgment.
Hay varios libros que se abren.
Now, let's study this prophecy under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed.
Vamos a estudiar esa profecía de hasta 2300 días de tardes y mañanas y el santuario.
So now this is an important point.
Esto es algo importante.
In the Old Testament,
en el Viejo Testamento,
on the Day of Atonement,
en el Día del Juicio,
when the sanctuary was cleansed,
cuando el santuario era purificado,
it was also a day of judgment.
Era un día de juicio también.
Those that did not have their sins blotted out on that day,
aquellos que no se borraban sus pecados en ese día,
were cut off from Israel.
Eran cortados del pueblo.
That means that they were killed.
Eso significa que eran asesinados.
So this is representing that there is a judgment that takes place on this day.
Significando que hay un juicio que toma lugar en este día.
2300 days.
2300 días.
Now something very important to understand.
Algo importante de entender.
I want to actually go on past all this. Something very important to understand about a day.
Algo importante entender sobre el día
is that in prophecy,
es que en la profecía,
a day equals a year.
Es que un día representa un año, como ya lo vimos.
Let's turn to these two scriptures to look.
Vamos a Ezequiel capítulo 6 a Números 14:34.
Ezekiel chapter 4 verse 6, Numbers 14:34, as our brother just said. Ezekiel chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says this.
4, versículo 6.
Now when we're all there, if we can just say amen.
Si llegan ahí, digan amén.
In prophecy,
en la profecía,
in Bible symbolism,
en la simbolismo de la Biblia,
one prophetic day,
un día profético,
equals one literal year.
Es igual a un año literal.
Now, how many of us understand that the Bible speaks in symbols oftentimes?
¿Cuántos ustedes saben que la Biblia habla de simbolismo?
Right? For example, what does a beast symbolize?
Por ejemplo, ¿qué representa una bestia de lo que hablamos?
It was a kingdom.
Un reino, acuérdense.
What about a woman in prophecy?
Una mujer en profecía.
Church.
La iglesia.
And a day equals a year in prophecy.
Y un día representa un año en la profecía.
So a beast equals a kingdom.
La bestia, un reino.
Woman equals a church.
Una mujer, una iglesia.
And a day equals a year in prophecy.
Y un día igual a un año en profecía.
Let's look at this now, Ezekiel 4, verse 6.
Vamos a Ezequiel, capítulo 4, versículo 6.
Are we all there? Amen.
¿Están ahí?
The Bible says this.
La Biblia dice,
and when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a what? Year. So each day symbolized a year.
Cada día representa un año.
Let's go to Numbers chapter 14, verse 34.
Números 14, versículo 34.
Numbers chapter 14, verse 34. We'll notice something that happened to the children of Israel.
Vamos a darnos cuenta de lo que les pasó a los hijos de Israel.
Let's pick it up right here in verse 32.
Vamos al versículo 32 del capítulo 14.
Numbers chapter 14 will begin with verse 32.
Versículo 32.
God begins to judge his people.
Dios empieza a juzgar a su pueblo.
This was after the time that they had spied out the Canaan land for 40 days.
Esto fue después de que habían ido a espiar la tierra de Canaán.
How many of you ever read that story before in the Bible?
Ya han leído esa historia antes.
Remember that?
¿Te acuerdan?
They went out and they looked and spied the land, 12 spies.
Fueron los espías, 12, y investigaron la tierra.
And only two of those spies brought back a good report.
Solamente dos de ellos trajeron un buen reporte.
You know, it's usually the minority that's in the right. You know that?
¿Saben que siempre es la minoría la que está correcta?
So if you find yourself in the minority when you're understanding the truth, don't be very discouraged. And the 10 other spies came back and gave a horrible report.
Los otros 10 dieron un mal reporte.
There's giants in the land.
Hay gigantes en la tierra.
And the cities are fenced up to heaven.
Y las ciudades están amuralladas.
And we're going to die in the wilderness.
Vamos a morir en este desierto.
And God said, okay, I'll answer your prayer.
Dios dijo, okay, yo les voy a responder la oración.
And notice now what God says in verse 32.
Y el versículo 32 dice,
but as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness. How long?
¿Cuántos días dice?
40 years.
40 años.
And bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a what? A year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. And so for 40 days that they spied the land,
por 40 días que espiaron la tierra,
for 40 years they would wander in the wilderness,
y 40 años iban a estar en el desierto,
each day for a year.
Cada día por cada año.
So when we come back to the book of Daniel, let's go back there now.
Cuando vamos al libro de Daniel,
this prophecy,
esta profecía,
of 2300 days
de los 2300 días,
actually symbolizes what?
Realmente simboliza, o quiere decir,
2300 years. Now let's go there now.
Vamos ahí.
I want to read something that a man named William Miller wrote about understanding Bible prophecy.
Para entender la profecía de la Biblia.
It's coming from William Miller's 13th rule of prophetic interpretation.
La treceava regla de interpretación bíblica de William Miller.
To know whether we have the true historical event for the fulfillment of a prophecy. If you find every word of the prophecy after the figures are understood is literally fulfilled, then you may know that your history is the true event. But if one word lacks a fulfillment, then you must look for another event or wait its future development. For God takes care that history and what else? Prophecy doth agree, so that the true believing children of God may never be ashamed. Would you like to please translate that in Spanish? At least the underlined part.
Dice, porque Dios se encarga de que la historia y la profecía concuerden.
So that the true believing children of God may never be ashamed.
Para que los verdaderos hijos de Dios no queden avergonzados.
Here's the point.
Este es el punto de lo
history
la historia
and prophecy
y la profecía
go together like hand and glove.
Van juntos como la mano y el guante.
They have to agree with each other.
Tienen que acordar entre ellos.
So when we look at this time prophecy, the 2300 years,
cuando hablamos de la profecía de los 2300,
it has to fulfill history.
Tiene que concordar con la historia.
I want to look at a couple of things that this woman right here wrote. This is coming from the youth instructor, August 25th, 1886.
Quiero leer lo que esta mujer escribió.
The youth are having, and her name is Ellen White, by the way.
Su nombre es Elena G. de White.
The youth are having precious opportunities in the Sabbath school to become acquainted with the prophecies, and they can understand the waymarks God has given in His Word. They can, by searching the Bible, be able to give the other intelligent reasons of their faith. Please read that at least first sentence. The first sentence.
Dice que los jóvenes están teniendo preciosas oportunidades en el día en la escuela sabática para ser para entender las profecías.
The rest of the sentence, please.
Y para que puedan entender las señales que Dios les ha dado en su palabra.
Notice that there are waymarks that God gives in His Word in order to understand prophecy.
Hay señales que Dios ha dado para que la gente entienda las profecías.
We can see the waymarks that are all along the way.
Podemos ver las señales que están a todo lo largo del camino.
What is a waymark?
¿Qué es una señal?
The dictionary, Webster's dictionary, says that it's a mark to guide in traveling.
Dice que es una marca para guiar en el viaje.
So in other words, God gives us something in prophecy.
Dios nos da algo en la profecía.
He gives us waymarks to know that we're on the right path.
Nos da señales para saber que estamos en el camino correcto.
Question.
Pregunta.
Does God want us to understand prophecy?
¿Creen que Dios quiere que aprendamos la profecía?
Yes.
Claro que sí.
Otherwise, why would He give it to us?
¿Para qué la daría, right? Entonces?
So God wants us to understand prophecy.
Dios quiere que entendamos la profecía.
Does the Lord want us to know how close we are to His coming?
¿Ustedes creen que Dios quiere que sepamos qué tan cerca está su venida?
Yes.
Claro.
Go back and read Matthew 24 and notice all the signs that Jesus gave.
Vayan a Mateo 24 y vean todas las señales que Dios da.
By the way, you want to know one of the first signs that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24?
¿Quieren saber cuál fue una de las señales, las primeras que Dios dio o Jesús dio?
I believe it was the second sign He mentioned.
Creo que fue la segunda que Él habló.
It was earthquakes in diverse places.
Él habló de temblores o terremotos en diversos lugares, ¿se acuerdan?
You think we might be getting close to that time?
¿Creen que estemos cerca de eso?
When you think about the various earthquakes that have been taking place all around the world,
cuando se dan cuenta de los diferentes terremotos en los diferentes partes del mundo,
not only in greater intensity,
no tan solo y se han intensificado,
but they're getting closer and closer together everywhere.
Pero se están juntando más y más cada vez.
How many of you remember a few years back when there was that earthquake and tsunami that hit, I think it was Indonesia?
¿Cuántos acuerdan del tsunami de Sumatra?
Does anyone know that the NASA? Does anyone know what the NASA scientists said about that earthquake?
¿Saben que NASA, los investigadores hablaron de ese terremoto?
That the Indonesian earthquake was so powerful
que el terremoto de Indonesia fue tan poderoso
that it actually knocked the Earth's axis off just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Que de hecho los axes de la Tierra fueron movidos unos cuantos.
And because of the Earth's axis being off by something like, you know, a thousandth of a millimeter, but it knocked off the Earth's axis and it did something.
Hizo algo ese terremoto de lo fuerte que
this is what NASA says.
Es lo que dice la NASA, okay.
That it actually shortened the days and sped up time.
Y que realmente hizo que los días se hicieran más cortos porque está girando más rápido.
So literally time is ticking faster in our world today, wrapping up this world's history.
Realmente el tiempo está yéndose más rápido en este mundo.
Did you also know that when the Haiti earthquake hit?
¿Y saben también que cuando el terremoto de Haití?
Go on the internet, do the research. This is true. That Haiti knocked it off another little millimeter of whatever it was. That Haiti also knocked the Earth's axis off just by a hair, but it sped up the time even faster.
Y también el terremoto este de Haití hizo lo mismo que el de Sumatra y el tiempo es más.
And when the Earth's axis goes off, it also starts to mess up weather patterns. And by the way, this is something that many people here don't have any clue about, but scientists do, and they're not telling us. And that is the Gulf Stream pattern. Does anyone know what the Gulf Stream is?
¿Y saben lo que es el cinturón de el patrón de agua de la tierra?
Well, the Gulf Stream is actually warm water that moves through the Gulf of Mexico and literally loops all the way around the earth through the cold waters of the Atlantic down the Cape Horn of Africa and back into the Gulf Stream. It's a circulation of warm water all around the world.
Es una corriente de agua tibia que corre alrededor de la tierra, caliente y enfría la tierra.
And the Gulf Stream also affects weather and air patterns. There's an air pattern called the Gulf Stream as well. It warms up the air above it.
Y de hecho esto causa que también el patrón de la tierra en cuestión de su de la temperatura cambie por esta razón.
The Gulf Stream affects life on Earth as we know it, okay? Make it simple as that.
Esta corriente afecta la vida en sí en la tierra.
How many of you remember the Gulf oil incident that just took place last year? Who doesn't know about it? You all understand that they were dumping millions of tons of Corexit and chemicals into the Gulf Stream to disperse the oil, right? Does anyone know what that did to the Gulf Stream? There are scientists that have come out publicly
que han salido públicamente.
And they've got, and some of them have gotten silence. But what's very interesting is that some very prominent scientists have said something very interesting.
Es que algunos investigadores conocidos han dicho algo muy importante.
And they said that last year was actually June 12th of 2010.
Y hablaron de junio 12 del 2012.
That the Gulf Stream actually stopped.
Que la corriente que estamos hablando se paró.
Now it's been shrinking for years. The volume of warm water has been shrinking for many years.
Que el volumen de esa corriente ha venido disminuyendo cada año.
And they've been saying that by 2050 there will be severe weather patterns and problems, and they've been hyping this up as issues of global warming.
Y están hablando que hasta el 2050 todo ese va a ser un caos.
Yeah, man-made global warming is an absolute fraud, okay? Just so you understand this.
Lo que hablan de que el hombre ha causado la temperatura que sube en la tierra es un fraude.
But what's interesting is, if this is true, last year that the Gulf Stream actually stopped for some reason,
pero, y si esto es cierto, que la corriente paró,
that spells some serious weather disruptions in our planet.
Va a haber un patrón totalmente caótico en la tierra.
And in some areas, actually freezings or frost rather than warmth over time.
Y en unos lugares va a ser la temperatura va a caer y a congelar todo.
And what's interesting is after this report from last year, that this year there's now been freak frosts that have hit through Mexico and also into Florida that have destroyed food product production just a few months ago. Does anyone know about that?
Y lo interesante de esto es de que a las cosechas en diferentes partes del mundo se han quemado a causa del hielo también.
Let me just make this very simple to understand.
Déjenme hacerlo claro para que lo entiendan.
This world is messed up.
Este mundo es un caos.
And this is going to get a lot worse.
Y va a empeorarse todavía.
And food is going to be in short supply very soon.
Y la comida va a estar en escasez.
Commodities are going to start going to the roof.
Las cosas que utilizamos van a subir más y más.
And these natural disasters are also going to help to crash or collapse the world economy.
Y estos desastres van a ayudar a colapsar la economía del mundo.
For those of you who have ever read the book Great Controversy,
para aquellos que han leído el libro que se llama El Conflicto de los Siglos,
we have some free books back there for those of you who don't have that.
Para aquellos que no tienen ese libro, allá lo tenemos atrás.
Read Great Controversy pages 589 and 590.
Lean la página 589 y 590.
And we are told what's going to bring Sunday laws on.
Y vamos a ver y van a darse cuenta de lo que va a traer la ley dominical.
We're told it's going to be natural disasters.
Se habla de desastres naturales.
Populous cities being destroyed.
Ciudades grandes siendo destruidas.
Famine, that's food shortage.
Sequías.
And a loss of temporal prosperity, it's an economic collapse.
Y el colapso económico.
And if you don't think we're living in that time, then you better wake up.
Y si tú no crees que estamos en ese tiempo, tienes que despertar.
Let's move on.
Vamos a continuar.
Let's go back to Daniel chapter 9.
Daniel capítulo 9.
Friends, we're living in serious times.
Estamos viviendo en tiempos
solemnes. Do you understand? Do you understand that?
¿Entienden esto?
We all need to shake off the slumber that's on us.
Tenemos que despertar de nuestro letargo.
Because as a people, we are asleep.
Porque como pueblo estamos dormidos.
And let me just say something very honestly.
Y déjeme serles honesto, lo que voy a...
Tonight, as we were coming here to church,
en esta noche, ahorita que veníamos,
and we're driving on the freeway,
estamos viniendo en el freeway,
just as endless miles of city and lights and cars and noise.
Y estamos manejando por la ciudad sin fin en...
And I began just to kind of think about the environment, just kind of quietly think. It took us about an hour to get here.
Y estaba pensando sobre todo este ambiente. Nos tomó como una hora llegar.
A thought came to my mind very clearly.
Y un pensamiento me vino a la mente.
That Satan,
Satanás,
is hypnotizing the populations of the world.
Está hipnotizando a la gente del mundo.
The sights, the sounds, the rush. The noise.
El estilo de vida, todo lo que hacemos, lo que estamos haciendo en nuestra vida diaria, todo esto.
The music.
La música.
The fashions.
La moda.
The food.
La comida.
The regular, constant work cycles.
La rutina que tenemos.
Satan is causing, especially Americans.
Satanás está causando, especialmente aquí.
Those of the Western culture.
Aquella cultura del occidente,
to settle into this hypnotizing routine of daily work.
Nos mete en esta rutina de trabajo diario.
Like a little mouse that runs on a wheel.
Como una, un ratón que corre en esas ruedas.
They just go round and round and round and round and round.
Una y dale, dale, lo
and mismo. They get off to eat and drink and sleep. They get back on. They go round and round and round and round and round.
Y sale de la rueda para comer y beber y seguir otra vez y seguir y seguir.
And many of us are so caught up in just daily survival.
Y muchos de nosotros estamos en este proceso de sobrevivencia nada más.
That we have no clue.
Que ni sabemos
how close we really are.
Qué tan cerca estamos.
To the snares of Satan closing in on us like a trap.
De las trampas de Satanás de cerrarse sobre encima de nosotros así tan rápido.
You know what, friends? I just want to read one scripture. Hold your finger in Daniel chapter 9.
Quiero leer otra escritura. Vamos a
the book of Luke.
Libro de Lucas.
Chapter 21.
Capítulo 21.
I want to just read this, brothers and sisters, for you.
Quiero leer esto nada más por ustedes en esta noche.
Luke chapter 21, notice what the Bible says.
Lucas 21.
Very, very quickly, verse 34.
Rápido.
Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 34.
Lucas 21, versículo 34.
When you're there, please let me know by saying amen.
Cuando estén ahí, digan amén.
Friends, I understand that we all need to work and we all need to survive.
Yo entiendo que todos estamos trabajar para sobrevivir.
But Jesus warns us about something.
Pero Jesús nos habla y nos enseña de una cosa.
Luke 21, beginning with verse 34, the Bible says this.
Lucas 21, versículo 34.
And take heed to yourselves. You know what that means?
¿Saben lo que dice? Mirad por vosotros.
That means pay attention.
Dice, pongan atención.
Means be careful.
Tengan cuidado.
Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and what else?
¿Y qué más?
What else?
Cuidados de
and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Notice that Jesus warns us of something.
Jesús nos avisa de algo.
And he warns us to be careful about the cares of this life.
Nos habla que tengamos cuidado de las cosas de esta vida.
What shall we eat?
¿Qué comeremos?
What shall we drink?
¿Qué beberemos?
How do we pay our bills? And bills and bills and bills and bills. This society is controlled by Satan. Don't you understand that?
Esta sociedad está controlada por Satanás.
And we get so caught up in the daily grind.
Y nos mantenemos tan ocupados en la rutina.
That we forget that we are in the midst of a time of crisis in this world. Do you understand that?
Nos olvidamos que estamos en la crisis.
And that Jesus is about to come.
Y Cristo está por venir.
Take your mind off of fashion, brothers and sisters.
Quiten tu mente de la...
Take your mind off of television.
De la televisión.
And even all the news.
Y de toda la basura de las noticias.
And get out in nature. Even if you don't live in the country right now, get out in nature somewhere.
Y vayan a la naturaleza, algún lugar.
And spend time meditating upon God.
Y vayan y mediten sobre Dios.
And reading his word.
Y al estudiar su palabra.
Because by beholding you become changed.
Porque al ver, al contemplar, tú eres transformado también.
My time is running out. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 9.
Terminando. Vamos a Daniel capítulo 9.
You know what? If I was in South America right now,
¿saben? Si estuviera en Sudamérica,
I would be preaching for 3 hours to a crowd that would eat up every minute of it.
Estaría predicando a un pueblo que estaría por 3 horas estarían despiertos.
I remember what we did an evangelistic series in 2005 down in Peru.
Hicimos una serie evangelística allá en Perú hace 2005.
And you know they have a phrase down there, you know, it's called Latin time.
Una forma de decir que es tiempo latino.
You know, it's okay. The meeting start at 7 o'clock.
Y dicen la junta empieza a las 7.
And you get there at 7 o'clock.
Y llegas a las 7.
And nobody's there. And then, you know, like 7:45, people start coming. Then by like 8:30, people are ready to sing. And then 9 o'clock, I start preaching. And then people still keep on coming off the streets. And by midnight, we're done. And they stand around and they talk. And then they get like 50 people like in one car. You know what I'm talking about, right? Y'all just get in there like this. And then they go home. And so if this was South America, we would be just getting started. Okay, so let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Let's notice what the Bible says, friends. I'm not going to keep you till midnight, I promise. Daniel chapter 9, let's get through this study, amen?
Amen.
Daniel chapter 9, let's notice what the Bible says now, beginning in verse 25.
Daniel 9, versículo 25.
When would the time prophecy begin?
¿Cuándo empezaría la profecía de los 2000?
Daniel 9, 25. When you're there, let me know by saying amen.
9:25.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. Notice the beginning of the time prophecy.
Vean el principio de la profecía.
Would be at the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem.
Iba a salir cuando se diera el decreto para restaurar a
Now, Jerusalén. We learned last night in Ezekiel chapter 6.
Aprendimos
excuse me, in Ezra chapter 6.
Aprendimos ahí el libro de Esdras.
That there were 3 kings that made 3 decrees.
Hubo 3 reyes que hicieron 3 decretos.
Cyrus,
Ciro,
Darius,
Darío,
and Artaxerxes. Now we're looking for the decree.
Estamos buscando el decreto.
That brings the 2,300 years.
Que empiezan los 2300 años.
To sometime after 1798. You remember that?
que nos lleva después del año 1798.
Everyone remembers that, right?
¿Se acuerdan de lo que
so es? Let's find out which decree.
Vamos a buscar cuál
if you add 2300 years to the date of that decree,
que si tú le sumas del tiempo de que salió el decreto,
which decree is going to bring us after 1798?
¿A qué fecha nos iba a llevar los 2300 días?
Let's notice Cyrus.
Vamos a ver a Ciro.
Here comes now some history.
Vamos a la historia.
Uriah Smith's book, Daniel and Revelation.
Uriah Smith de Daniel y Apocalipsis.
The overthrow of Jerusalem, recorded by Jeremiah, was accomplished in 606 or 605 BC. All right, let's go on past this. I want to go to the actual decree.
Quiero entrar en el decreto.
Here we are. Okay. The year that Cyrus succeeded Darius the Mede to the throne of Medo-Persia marked the completion of 70 years since the first company of Hebrews had been carried captive to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. Now you can actually read Cyrus's decree in Ezra chapter 1.
De hecho, tú puedes leer el decreto de Ciro en Esdras capítulo 1.
Now let's notice what date this decree went forward.
Vean qué fecha comenzó este decreto.
The decree of Cyrus for rebuilding the house of God took place in 536 BC.
El decreto comenzó en el año 536 antes de Cristo.
All right, everyone got that?
Ese es el de Ciro, ¿okay?
So five,
el primero.
536.
Año 536.
Now you know that's the devil, right?
Yes. ¿Saben qué es Satanás?
This thing just shut off. Oh, the lamp. Did the lamp burn out? Have mercy. I think the lamp just died.
Try it again.
Let's see if this thing works. We know that we need to have a word of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Can we all kneel? Brother, let's pray before we even mess with it. I'm going to ask us to spend a moment in prayer, asking for the presence of God's Holy Spirit. We recognize that Satan tries to show up at every meeting where souls will be saved. And brothers and sisters, I just want to ask you to take a moment to just pray silently in your own heart. There's a great controversy going on. And to ask and pray and invite the presence of holy angels. Maybe some of us are starting to get distracted. Let's not invite any spirits in here. Let us search our own hearts and surrender our hearts. And let us just invite the presence of the Spirit of God to be here tonight. There are people learning this for the first time. Let us plead for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus can fix any electronic problem. So I'm just going to ask and pray that we would just spend just a brief season of prayer. And even if this thing doesn't work, brothers and sisters, we're still preaching from the Word of God itself. So I'm going to ask if Brother Dwayne Dewey would share a word of prayer for us. And then after you're done with your prayer, brother, I would also ask if Brother Lucas would share a word of prayer for us. Then I'll close from the front. Let us pray.
Loving Father in heaven, Brother Richards has expressed that the enemy is afoot. Lord, we know that you are greater than our enemy. Dear Lord, we want your presence here with us.
Amen.
And we want, dear Lord, to have your sweet Holy Spirit, dear Lord. We can preach this from the Word. We don't need electric devices, but we know, dear Lord, that these things are about presenting the truth to those who need to hear it.
Amen.
Please bless us, and we do thank you for all your care for bringing us to these meetings throughout the week, and that, dear Lord, you will bless us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, continue your presence. We ask you to help us empty our minds and our hearts from the things of this world, and help us understand your truths that can transform our lives, that we may leave this place here transformed tonight with the certainty that your coming is near and that we need to prepare ourselves to stand in these last days. Help with all the things that we need to finish this presentation. Ask you to be with our speaker. We bless him. And Holy Spirit, all of us here tonight. We ask all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Our Heavenly Father, I just simply desire to touch and agree in prayer with the prayers of my brothers in Christ. We recognize that we are living in the time of the judgment, and this prophecy that we are discussing identifies the opening of the judgment hour, where Christ moves into the most holy place and begins the work of the blotting out of sin. We recognize, Lord, that as Christians, we desire to be under the blood administration of Christ as our great high priest. And tonight, Lord, even though we've had electrical problems, and though the lamp may be burned out, we don't know. If it is your will, you can help it to work. And if it is not your will, then we pray that you bless the living preacher speaking from the word, the pages of Holy Writ. And we ask and pray that you bless us as we study Scripture. Please pour out your Holy Spirit tonight and bless us and help us to finish this lecture with victory, that we might give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Be with us as our prayer. May your angels encamp round about us. Be with us as our prayer in a special way. For we ask and pray and claim these things in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Amen. Okay. We're going to continue on, brothers and sisters. And this lamp doesn't work, then we're just going to go ahead and get our whiteboard and continue on. Amen. We'll see if this works or not. Want to turn that back on, brother? See if it works. Testing 1, 2. Amen. Let's just continue on, brothers and sisters. Amen.
Vamos a continuar.
Daniel chapter 9. We'll wait for the board to get back here. If this thing doesn't turn on, we'll just continue on. Daniel chapter... Can you please turn that off?